Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Today, I get the pleasure of interviewing Brian Anderson with Wabash Valley Power. Brian has over 15 years of experience in economic development, and he leads initiatives that support economic vitality through the Wabash Valley Power service territory. He came to Wabash from Middle Michigan Development Corporation, where he was the CEO. Brian's going to share some interesting insights on what he calls the three D's and three E's of leadership. Want to figure out what those are? Tune in right now. Well, Brian, we've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time, so you know, I'd like to dive right in. You know, what do you think is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
You know, around here we talk a lot about the three D's. So, you know, as you transition through your career, you have doers, so the people that, you know, really their max capacity is the amount of work they're able to do, and they're the people who get delegated the work to. They're kind of seen as the people who hit the tactical buttons, but you know, they're the ones making a lot of the work happen. And as you eventually become a skilled doer and move on in your role, you become more of a delegator. So maybe you have a team and your capacity grows to not only what you can do, but what also your team can do. And as you elevate further, you become a developer. And so that's the third D, that really it's like you're developing leaders, you're developing people who expand beyond that delegator role, beyond the doer role. And they themselves are creating leaders, and it kind of becomes this leadership chain. And I think where I see people struggling is not progressing through that three D's at a steady pace. And maybe they advance in a role that pushes them into a developer type setup where they really are responsible for creating the future leaders of that organization, but they're still just delegating work. And it limits their capacity to get things done. And in a way, it handcuffs the entire organization, or at least that function within the organization for which they have responsibility. So I think that's what I see happening with leaders and not necessarily having the ability to move through those three Ds.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. That's an interesting idea about that leadership journey, because there is a process in your leadership. And I think that's a really interesting thought. So, you know, what's a characteristic that you believe that every leader should possess? And is there somebody that's, you know, been in your career that, you know, has really, you know, showed that ability?
Well, I often think it starts with team. I think a lot of times when I think about what am I looking at in a leader, who are the people that I follow, who are the people that I look up to, they understand things are bigger than themselves. They're first quick to share credit and to give credit, give praise, downplay their role. So I think that humility and the ability to have empathy within that too, I think they're on the same side of the coin. So people that I see doing this or a person that I think back when I really think of a great leader that I had an interaction with, Bob Trezise was my first real boss and first person that I would say felt like a true mentor, a person that was lifting me up when I had a bad day, you know, was empathetic, understanding. He'd been there, taught it as a learning opportunity, didn't necessarily admonish unless it was absolutely necessary, but really had the humility to say, this is about more than myself, more than the organization even, because we were doing economic development. We were doing this for the purpose of the little guy, trying to help them succeed and try to help the city of Lansing, in that case, really become something more than it had been or what people thought it could be. And when I think back to just a leader that exhibited exactly what I want to someday achieve or a fraction of it, I think of Bob.
Yeah, it can be really easy to forget the mission of economic development. And I think that that's something that, you know, is something to be, you know, important to remember. So, you know, kind of to flip the tables a little bit, what is something that you've seen, you know, on the other side where a characteristic of a leader that, you know, you've seen it kind of ruin their career and them not continue to progress, you know, in a positive way? What's something, you know, a behavior or trait that you've seen derail their career? And how do you guard against that?
Well, when I think about this, I often see leaders as they're newly promoted, maybe getting a team for the first time or getting a bigger team and thinking that they need to know more on every subject or be better in every way than the people that report to them. And in some ways, I see the relationships being somewhat condescending. So a person, you know, just on a minutia level, might be told they're wrong in a meeting, or maybe their feedback isn't as valued as it could be. But I think that more often than not, there's this reflex of, okay, I have maybe now elevated beyond my peers. They're now reporting to me. I must be better than them along all the spectrum of responsibilities. And I think one way to guard against that is really to think about the fact that everybody has strength. And in a lot of ways, you can get the best out of your organization or the best out of your function by really amplifying and leveraging the strengths of the people around you. I'm a terrible event planner. One of my people is an amazing event planner. If I were to say I have to be a better event planner than she is, I'd be doing the whole organization a disservice. So I put her in a position to thrive. And it just so happens that's what excites her. That's what gets her up every day to come into work and just pull off these amazing events that she does for our organization that have a true impact on our ability to build resonance with our state. And if I were to somehow take that away from her by thinking I had to be better, that would just really hurt the entire organization's function. So I think to really understand where your people are at their best and leverage that instead of thinking you yourself are somehow less than or made weaker if they're better than you at something is one way to really protect against that behavior.
Yeah, it's okay not to be good at everything. You know, it's good to double down on your own strengths because that's really what makes your team better, to let people kind of stay in their own lane and move fast in that lane. So I think that's a really great piece of advice. So Brian, I would say that, you know, you're probably in the developer stage. And when you go back to those three D's of leadership, how do you then ensure that you're continuing to grow and develop your own leadership when you're so focused on developing others? What are you doing, you know, that's ensuring that you're continuing to grow?
I think I've been blessed to have a couple people in my life who have really walked that journey with me, shown a lot of patience and have been willing to walk with me to hopefully identify areas where I can improve and take steps to improve along the way. One is a woman named Alexandra Perry. She runs a firm that she owns herself here in town in Indianapolis called Practically Speaking, and she's a coach. She's sort of a speech coach, I guess, in some ways as well, but she's really been in a lot of ways a life coach or a professional coach to me. And she's that type of person that'll just really give it to you the way you need to hear it. And I've been able to go to her and lean on her at times where maybe I have pulled my eyes down and lost focus. Another person in my life is a woman named Sarah Turner, who is also an executive coach who works for a company called the Faroat Group here in Indianapolis. And she's been the person who has really helped me elevate. A lot of times she takes things so far beyond even where I can see that because she's been there and she's seen it from this top level and has so much perspective. And I think, you know, really to ensure that I grow and develop as a leader is to never become complacent, never think that I've got it all figured out. And having people that in one way will remind me that, hey, you screw up plenty. And then also having a person who can help me elevate and help me maybe get out of the weeds at times and see the bigger picture and continue to push and challenge and give me incredible insights. So I would say that really leaning on those two incredible women are the ways that I've been focusing on my growth and development.
That's awesome. So Brian, you mentioned a couple of things earlier, but you know, what's a piece of advice that you would give to, you know, someone that's stepping into a leadership role for the first time? I know that, you know, economic development's becoming, you know, you're seeing a little bit of a younger age demographic that's getting into economic development, and in a lot of cases they're moving up, you know, relatively quickly. So what's a piece of advice that you'd give to someone that's going into leadership role for the first time?
Well, you know, it's an interesting point you make here because we just hired a person onto our staff fresh out of college. And in a lot of ways, it's challenged me to think about how I lead them because it's a different environment for me, not having somebody that came in with experience that had maybe been in the field for several years. So in some ways, I have thought about this not only just as a new leader, but as a person leading a new profession or someone new to the profession. And I think a lot of times when I think about, you know, what is like one skill that I've tried to hone in leading other people, it's been talking about, you know, we talked about the three D's. Well, there's also the three E's. So, you know, looking at the things that give that person ease, energy, and enjoyment. And it kind of sticks with this humility and empathy. And it talks about, you know, understanding, you know, what are your people's strengths? Well, you know, when you show up to work every day, and this is something that Sarah, who I mentioned previously, had really taught me. There's things that give you ease. There's things that give you energy. There's things that give you enjoyment. So those are the three E's. What are those things? You know, and really getting to know your people, getting to know, you know, where is somebody at their best and what activities give them just that energy and excitement, give them that zest for life, that if they can do more of that, they will absolutely show up with a full picture of themselves every single day. And they will run through brick walls for you because that's the thing that they really enjoy. So my advice to someone would be to say, you know, really get to know your people, ask those questions. You know, what are the things that are hardest about your job that you just always feel like you're writing with your offhand versus what are the things that, man, if I could do that 24/7, I would be just a pig in mud. And getting to know that first would help you position your people in a way that makes them better and makes your organization better as a whole.
I think that's really great. You know, Brian, I you know, I've known you to have a lot of great successes and, you know, not just projects and but more on that leadership side as well. What's something that you, when you look back at your career, what is that one thing that you're most proud of?
I think in economic development, we do a lot of projects. We do, you know, get some big wins under our belt. And I think it can be sometimes a reflex for me to say, oh, yeah, we overcame this major political hurdle, or, you know, we had this really dirty site that we were able to figure out how to do a complex financing mechanism. But when I think about this question, I think of an old employee of mine, her name is, and I brought her into the organization because the board wanted me to hire an assistant. And just right from the get-go, I was down to two candidates for the position. There was a person who had real, like, you know, executive assistant, office manager type experience. That's what her career had been. She'd been hugely successful in that. She had run great organizations, had amazing references. And then there was Kim, who had really none of that experience, but she had been an assessor at a township. She had been involved with planning and zoning. She had done a lot of the things that I saw as really essential for the function of economic development, but maybe not really aligned with the job that the board had asked me to hire. And so I thought about, you know, what was the goal here? The board had asked me to hire somebody that would help sort of take some things off of my plate so I could focus on the function of the organization. And I saw Kim as really that person that I could maybe do some more of the back office stuff as well, but using her experience as an assessor in some of those, you know, more economic development functional activities would really be beneficial to us. So she got the job and she just took to it like you wouldn't believe. And after a year, I changed her title. Assistant didn't even begin to scratch the surface of what she was. So I think I made her title, you know, as economic developer or something to that effect. And she was a single mother. She had an hour-long commute to come down to this job. And I knew it was hard for her having two teenagers back home that she was an hour away from at any time. And so after about 2 years of working with us, there was an opportunity for her to become an executive director at the Chamber of Commerce where she lived. And that job would require a lot of economic development and a lot of promotions. You know, a lot of the smaller communities that do Chamber of Commerce plus a number of other things. It was really hard to put myself sort of mentally in that position of wanting to see her go and succeed. But I did everything I could to make sure that not only in that short time that she was absolutely ready to take on an executive director type role, but also work behind the scenes to make sure that she was the top candidate for that job. And so when I think back of any project, any activity that in my 15-year career I've been able to accomplish, putting Kim not only in a position, but then helping her get that position. And she did 90% of the work. I mean, I don't want to take credit for it. I sit back and say, man, this is the thing that I'm most proud of.
Well, Brian, that's one of the reasons that we love you, because your greatest success is the success of someone else. And I think that's a really humble thing to say. So we appreciate that very much. Brian, just kind of a quick fun question that we like to ask. You know, we're economic development, I think, is an interesting field to where, you know, we're changing the lives of the people of our country. And it's something that, you know, we're helping to shape the future of, you know, our kids, our grandkids, and generations to come. What does it mean to you to be an American?
Oh, that's easy. I mean, this is the land of opportunity. So I think to be an American, especially as an American economic developer, you need to work every day to make sure you're giving opportunity to as many people as possible. In some cases, that's directly, some cases that's indirectly. But I think as an American, your responsibility is to make sure that there is an opportunity for every person out there to succeed. That may be, you know, that worker who's getting a job, that may be that ex-convict who is getting back into the workforce and rehabilitating their lives. That might be that entrepreneur that's going out on their own. But I think to be in this profession, to truly be an American, you're living and breathing that idea that this is a land of opportunity, and you're working tirelessly to make sure that that's felt throughout whatever your purview is.
Well, Brian, as I mentioned, we've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time. You certainly did not disappoint. We thank you so much for taking the time today to join us on the podcast. Wow, that was so great to talk to our good friend, Brian Anderson, today. He had some really great insights. Next week, really excited for this, get to talk to Grady Fitzpatrick, who is the Senior Vice President of Business Development at the Greater New Orleans, Inc. He leads all the business attraction and retention efforts, and he works on bringing new jobs and investments to the 10 parish region of Greater New Orleans. So make sure you turn in next week. It's going to be a great interview with Grady.